Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real. The following assessment of the global economy comes from the research firm Capital Economics. They say the largest data have revealed that the world's major economies are all struggling, but for different reasons. In Europe, the energy crisis is largely behind the recent softness in consumer and industrial activity. In the United States, higher interest rates are weighing on interest-sensitive areas of the housing market, auto sales, equipment investment, as our new interest-sensitive spending indicators have shown. Meanwhile, China is currently contending with a virus wave as widespread as the previous Omicron outbreak, against the backdrop of a property sector slump and a weakening export climate. High inflation will preclude monetary policy support in advanced economies in the coming quarters, while traditional concerns about debt and the renminbi should see the PBOC, People's Bank of China, stay largely on the sidelines. Add all of this together, and global GDP having contracted for the first time since early 2020 in Q2, look set to grow by a little bit more than 2% this year, which on some definitions constitutes a global recession. I agree with their view in totality. The Atlanta Fed GDP Now estimate for the third quarter of economic growth is now just 0.3%. Yes, 0.3%. 3%. The truth is we have stubbornly high inflation, which is slowly coming down from a record high level in the context of an absence of economic growth. Stagflation is not good for stocks. Let's just be glad we don't look like Argentina in our little trip around the world. Argentina's central bank said it's going to raise interest rates by 5.5%, not to 5.5%, by 5.5% to 75% in order to combat inflation that is rising at 6.25% per month. But you say that is a Latin American banana republic and something like that can't happen in a developed world economy? Well, take a look at Germany, where the producer price index hit a high of 45.8% year over year. This is a serious problem we have in the world, folks. We have very, very high inflation, and in some cases, we have intractable and hyperinflation. And this is in the context of a global recession. Now, while that producer price index in Germany that's approaching 50% isn't anywhere near Weimar inflation figures suffered after World War I, it's still high enough to put the fear of hyperinflation into the minds of consumers and central bankers. Now, the following data is from Charlie Biello. 2 years ago, the 30-year mortgage rate was 2.87%. And the average new home price was $405,000. Now the 30-year mortgage rate is 6.02% and going higher after today. And the average new home is $544,000. Meaning the cost of becoming a new homeowner has required your down payment to increase by $28,000 on average and has caused you to pay an extra 96% on your monthly mortgage payment. And rents have soared by 27% in the past year alone. So what does all this mean for investors? Last week, I warned my podcast listeners that corporate America is about to fess up and a period of forced honesty was coming upon corporations, where Wall Street's BS about a robust earnings growth was a mirage, and that would soon fade. Well, Federal Express announced last Thursday that it's going to withdraw. Suddenly it's going to withdraw its full year guidance and cut quarterly earnings outlook for its current quarter from $5.14 to $3.44. And for the next quarter, it slashed over half the estimate from $5.48 to just $2.75. Beyond that, the corporation thinks that the outlook for the remaining two quarters for this fiscal year is so murky that it will not give any clue, no guidance, where their earnings may end up being. Now, they gave this global guidance, FedEx gave their guidance for earnings in June, and they had to pull it all away. This is what FedEx had to say about this earnings shock. Quote, global volumes declined as macroeconomic trends significantly worsened later in the quarter, both internationally and in the U.S., close quote. He stated later on in the interview with CNBC that a recession is impending for the global economy. By the way, FedEx gave a very rosy outlook for its earnings only a couple of months ago, before having to slash those estimates just a few days ago. That is how quickly the global economy is contracting. Bear in mind, this is prior to the Fed's additional 175 basis points in rate hikes coming between today. We had 100 basis points today, 75 basis points today, and March of next year are implemented. And before it drains, by the way, that's a minimum of 175 basis points between now and March, and before it drains $2 trillion off its bloated balance sheet. Also, much like Federal Express, Ford Motor Company announced yesterday that it saw a surprise $1 billion increase in supply chain costs in the current quarter. The shares dropped over 12% in one day on that revelation. As to how that huge increase in costs was a surprise is beyond me. But the key here is that Ford and FedEx are emblematic of the confessions that the vast majority of corporations are going to have to reveal as they report earnings and forecasts over the next two quarters. Ex the energy sector, U.S. stocks are trading at 19 times earnings that are pretend, that are in fantasy world. Hence, equities are still very expensive right now. And that is based on a denominator in the PE ratio that still has to come down significantly. Now, you can glean a lot about where the U.S. economy is heading from the following announcement about insider sales. The CEO of ADP unloaded 61% of his stock last week. ADP is one of the largest payroll processors in the United States. Translation, this CEO must believe the labor market is soon going to be in deep trouble. But Powell doesn't understand that. His hands are tied, as a matter of fact. He cannot, for the time being, react to any slowing data. He can't react rapidly, for sure, for the following three reasons. Number one, virtually all the members of the Federal Open Market Committee, FOMC, have gone on record saying that the Fed funds rate must reach at least 4% in the next two quarters, and then just remain there for a long time. They already have several stinky layers of rotten eggs on all of their faces after the transient inflation prediction didn't work out, but instead led to 40-year high intractable consumer price inflation. Number two, the official data from the Labor Department regarding the employment situation is still relatively strong. For example, initial jobless claims last week fell to 213,000, a decrease of 5,000 from the previous week. And last week's data was revised down by 4,000 to 218,000 from the initial reported 222K. Also, there were 315,000 net new jobs created in August. That's the wrong direction for a Fed that wants the labor market to weaken significantly and for wages to fall. Even if the data is wrong, it's all the information the data-dependent Fed can go with. Number three, the core rate of CPI is still increasing, The August core reading of inflation ex food and energy jumped to 6.3% year over year from 5.9%, which is a new cycle high. If the Fed were to pivot now after the aforementioned facts, Powell would make Bozo the Clown look like a new and improved candidate for Fed chair. Indeed, the FOMC offered no hint of a pivot with today's decision to hike the Fed funds rate by 75 basis points and signaled the intention of continuing to hike until the level of a terminal rate is hit of 4.6% in 2023. That's the new consensus summary of economic projections, 4.6% in the middle of 2023. Powell indicated the Fed funds rate will hit 4.4% by the end of this year. Also, the FOMC does not plan on lowering interest rates until sometime in 2024. So all of 2023, we're going to be at that so-called terminal rate. They have such cute names to describe things. They have no idea what it means. Fed officials also slashed their growth forecast. The median projection for GDP growth is just 0.2% year over year in Q4 of this year, which is optimistic, by the way, and 1.2% for all of 2023. Officials now see the unemployment rate reaching 4.4% next year from 3.7%. The inflation projections were raised as well. Despite the weak and faltering global economy, which is due to supply chain disruptions, the war in Ukraine, a surging U.S. dollar that continues to surge, soaring borrowing costs that continue to soar, crumbling asset prices that continue to crumble, and over 80 of the world's central bankers working together to aggressively combat intractable inflation, Wall Street is still predicting earnings growth by 8.6% this year and 7.5% in 2023. And then slaps a rich, historically rich multiple upon those fictitiously expanding earnings. As a reminder, during recessions, earnings per share doesn't just stop increasing, doesn't go flat. They can plunge by anywhere from 30 to 80%, depending on the severity of the recession. Now, pent-up portfolio strategies will tactically engage in short-term trades to take advantage of the periods of deeply oversold conditions. But the nucleus of the strategy remains in sector one, which is disinflation and recession. And that'll remain in place as long as the liquidity conditions are tightening into a global recession. We are staying safely hedged with equity shorts and long, yes, long U.S. treasuries, which have not performed well as of yet. Today was a nice exception, by the way, but continues to spin off a healthy income stream to the portfolio, as well as providing us a ballast against any kind of short-term spikes in the market. Yields have been dragged higher by rising U.S. inflation, soaring inflation in Europe, which has boosted European yields. But that story is mostly behind us. The story ahead of us, think about what we're doing next because of what's happening next, because stocks are a discounting mechanism. The story ahead of us is a global recession that still many people fail to acknowledge, but they won't be able to deny it much longer. And inflation that is declining on a second derivative basis. But who cares if inflation is declining? Because it's declining from a very high level, and it's declining because of a global devastated economy. That doesn't help stocks. Some people just don't understand how beneficial treasuries can be during a situation like that, recessions and periods of disinflation. But I do. Therefore, given the intensification of the global slowdown, along with the peaking of inflation, those bonds should start to offer us principal appreciation as well as the cash flow that they have been offering already. However, if yields continue to climb in the face of deteriorating economic data, or if, say, the Bank of Japan were to end its yield curve control policy and rates spike in Japan from 0.25% to 10%, that would drag Treasury yields higher. So if that's the case, the long duration treasury portion of our portfolio will be sold. But our shorts will sure be paying off very well. By the way, if the recession is marked, if this recession is marked by interest rates that continue to rise across the globe, it's going to be not just a bear market, a very bad bear market, one of the worst bear markets we've ever had. It's going to lead to total perdition on Wall Street. It's that kind of active and smart management that gives Pento portfolio strategies a huge advantage over the buy and hold used carpet salesmen that dominate Wall Street.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.